Benny Mordaunt, the Trade Minister, the former Levelling Up Minister, Kemi Badenoch, and the backbencher, Tom Tuggenhat, not a single member of the audience of floating voters raised their hands when asked if they trusted politicians. A long section on trust saw none of the five candidates willing to say whether Boris Johnson was honest. Sometimes, said Badenoch, while Penny Mordaunt talked about really severe issues, and Liz Truss spoke of mistakes. Tom Tuggenhat won applause by saying simply, no. A separate show of hands after a debate on energy bills saw just three people say they felt politicians were doing enough to help people. When asked at the end of the debate if it had made them more likely to vote Conservative, only 10 of the audience raised their hands. A separate spat saw Penny Mordaunt and Kemi Badenoch clash, with visible enmity among the two. When Liz Truss declined to back up her version of events about policies in the government's equalities office, Kemi Badenoch said, "Come on, Liz, tell the truth." Penny Mordaunt, meanwhile, asked about negative briefings about her from some of other camps, refused to say she trusted the other candidates. So far, two rounds of voting among Tory MPs, who are gradually reducing the field down to a final two candidates, with a winner then decided by the party members, has been Rishi Sunak gained the most support, followed by Penny Mordaunt, Liz Truss, Kemi Badenoch, and then Tom Tuggenhat. The backbencher, who is expected to be ousted in the next round on Monday, used the debate to seek to set himself apart from the other candidates, all of whom had served under Boris Johnson. Tuggenhat said, "I've been holding a mirror to many of our actions and asking those in our party, those in our leadership positions, to ask themselves, is that what the public really expects?" In an earlier question and answer session hosted by the Conservative Home website, Liz Truss sought to regain the initiative in the race by promising to scrap a planned rise in corporation tax and suspend green energy levies, costing more than £20 billion a year overall. The unexpected offer came on top of an existing pledge by Liz Truss to reverse a rise in national insurance, worth another almost £11 billion a year. "We immediately need to start putting money back into people's pockets. We know families are struggling to make ends meet at the moment," she said. It has been estimated that scrapping the planned rise in corporation tax from 19% to 25% next year would cost about £15 billion a year. Suspending green levels on energy bills could cost an estimated £5 billion a year. The Labour Party has condemned an arms race of uncosted tax cut pledges among the candidates. The former Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, has said he would wait to stabilise inflation before cutting any taxes. In a boost to Liz Truss, shortly after the debate, the Attorney General, Suella Braverman, who was eliminated from the contest after finishing last in Thursday's MP's vote, reiterated her call for her supporters to switch to the Foreign Secretary. Suella Braverman is ideologically close to Kemi Badenoch, but in a robustly worded message to supporters, Braverman urged them to look realistically at the numbers and back Liz Truss, the other candidate seen as being firmly under right of the Conservative Party.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
WIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. It's Muhammad Jawad hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, just like before, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma. Assalamu alaikum, sister. Welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here once more.
Most welcome to have you back in the studio. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the studio again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. And thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
You're welcome. The pleasure is
ours. You're always the guest of honor.
No, I'm not the guest of honor. I'm like literally, what do you call it? I'm a part of the show. You are the guest of honor.
Let's take a listen, in fact, to a short part of this movie, and then we'll be back with the question around it. Don't go away.
Sean, if you're watching this right now, it means we haven't seen each other in a very long time. I'm so sorry about that. Because it means you grew up just like I did, without your father. But I don't have that much time, and I need you to listen to me very carefully. Everything I have done, and everything I'm about to do, I did to protect you and your mother. Always remember that. Strange things are going to start happening to you, just like they happened to me. There are things out there, Sean, I didn't even know existed. But they are real. And they can be very evil. If this tape has found you, it means you have friends. Find them. Learn everything you need to learn and get stronger. You have it in your blood, Sean, just like I do. But if you're watching this right now, it means I wasn't strong enough. But maybe you are. That's you.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are focusing on the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmed. And we just listened to a part of this movie where I have a question about, and I'm going to start it with you, Sayyid Abdullah. You know, a videotape of Sean's father, right, given to him as a kind of birthday present, basically, in this movie, saying strange things are starting to happen to him.
Yeah.
It's a kind of foreseeing or forecasting for Sean, in fact, to see. Later in his life, along with his wife. And it did after that. I mean, all those strange things, weird things happen, you know, or began to unravel throughout the movies. Do these weird things wait, or can we say that these weird things, in fact, stop at a time and then pause, and then they come to, let's say, resurface, for example, at one time or juncture of time, in fact, in your life? Or can we really put them on hold?
The idea is that, I mean, to answer this question is actually you got to go back to the trade itself, which is dealing with jinn, dealing with these creatures.
All right.
Now, to have them chase, like to go from one generation to another, they have to be placed there by a magician or a sorcerer. For example, if I knew the art of or the craft of sorcery, I can make them stick to you and to your lineage. Now, the thing with the jinn, they have an extremely long lifespan. They go for hundreds and hundreds and sometimes thousands of years. So if a professional magician, he can curse you on your family. Yes, they can do that. So what happens is, like, you get to see these things and you get to suffer because of it. And your kids also, from a young age, well, as they grow, it will take more effect as they grow. So the older they get, the worse it becomes for them. So yes, it does happen like that. But like I said, this is just, unless you're into the art of magic itself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
These weird things can stop, can wait, can
they usually they start they usually, like I said, depends on how it's been done and what it's been done specifically, but they can begin from a young age, and sometimes they can start at a certain age in your life.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it has been mentioned in the movie, they were waiting for him to have an heir, and since he was about to have a boy or a child, whatever, then the process has started, because mm-hmm. they were waiting for him to have an heir.
I see.
And then to start the...
There is a question that I might ask you later about this, mm-hmm. exactly. But to be honest, let's have another short listen to another part of this movie, Jinn, producing 2014. And then come back and talk about that specific part, because this is also important. And I think it's a question that needs to be asked about this movie, while we are criticizing it. So stay with us and listen to this part.
Sean.
Yeah.
My name is Gabriel. Jasmine. Don't be afraid. You're safe within his walls. He can't get you here.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma helping me and being a guest speaker in the studio. We are criticizing the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad. Well, you just listened to a part of this movie, Jinn, where Gabriel, Sister Asma, is talking to Sean mm-hmm. and Jasmine, his wife,
yes.
And says that you are, because in that part of the movie, you know, Gabriel, actually we found it out later in the movies that
he was
Gabriel
a jinn
was
as
a
well.
Jinn too, yes.
All but right. a good one.
Yeah, but
working
a good one.
For the benefit
of human
beings.
Not a part of Shayateen.
Yes, not in part of Shayateen.
Right. And he says to them that you are safe within
the walls
of a cathedral.
Yes, that
All
was
right?
so nice.
Yeah. Couldn't they find a mosque around? This is my first question.
He didn't say cathedral.
Yeah.
He said within the walls of any house of God.
Yeah. And so if that is the case, are holy places safe so that jinns can't enter?
Yes, because there are all the names of God around there, and there are holy books, and we all do believe that if there is a sacred place in which nobody does any sin, then that place is the house of God, and that would be a place in which you would feel safe and you would have safety.
But isn't it paradoxical for Gabriel to say that? Because Gabriel was a genie.
Gabriel
himself.
Was more of a of an angel, not of a jinn, I guess. But no, it's not paradoxal.
Because he was a genie, but he's still yet. You
jinns
can find him in the...
also have different types. They could be Muslim. They could be those who believe in God. So the good ones can enter the house of God.
Because only the Shayateen couldn't.
Yes, because uh-huh. they're not going to harm human beings.
I see.
On the contrary, they're going to work for the benefit of the human beings if it's needed.
I see. If you know, let's say cruelty or oppression or let's say evilness is one of the cornerstones, one of the, let's say, the reasons that make a kind of obstacle for the Shayateen, for the evil jinns or demons to mm-hmm. enter such holy places, why can't the same reason, let's say, prevent from the evil, even people entering holy places, such as a mosque. For example, I'm talking about a human being.
Oh, yes. I would answer you into my personal point of view. Yes. I would say that the doors of those houses are open to everyone because there's always a chance for a human being to turn it all around. Because maybe coming to that place and experiencing those atmospheres which are very sacred and holy, and they give you such an impression that you want to be a good person.
So can it be generalized to the genies, like the bad genies?
As brother,
like, couldn't they have the chance of being a good genie, for example?
Outside that house also, they could get into that goodness if it is possible, if they are put in that situation.
We also have the, traditions, in fact, suggesting that when you enter a mosque,
mm-hmm.
You have to be clean, you have to be pure,
exactly.
You have to take wudu, for example. You can't enter those mosques. And mind you, we have these traditions, and in the Muslim world, you can't, like a Christian or a Jew, cannot enter the holy places of the Muslims.
I always think of these holy places like mosques or shrines as the places that are the shelter for human beings. They're the places made for us in order to feel safe. Whenever you are feeling so over-occupied with pain or different issues that are perhaps sometimes evil, you go to these places in order to feel safe. So I guess in order to make them safer, it's better, and as it is already, for jinns not to have any chance to get in.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short listen to another part of the movie and then we'll be back with this question. Don't go away.
Okay, how did you do that?
First, tell me how most people would explain what just happened.
Magic. That was a simple magic trick.
A ghost, I don't know.
Ghosts, demons, poltergeists, they don't exist. It's something else. The one solitary answer to everything you cannot explain. You see, in the beginning, three were created. Man, made of clay. Angels, made of light. And a third, made of fire, called the jinn. That's what's coming for you.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. We are focusing on the movie Jinn, produced in 2014. And we are criticizing it with Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah. In that part, Sayyid Abdullah, Jasmine refers to magic as they see Gabriel pulls a pen without touching it. If you imagine that part, you know. And then he rejects, ghosts, demons, poltergeist, and so on and so forth, you know. He refers to the remark at the start of the movie, you know, jinn itself. So is it true? The priest also
exactly.
reads.
Exactly, is what true?
Is what true?
Yeah. The priest also reads the Old Testament from the prophet Ezekiel, all right? Referring to jinn's jealousy of man's power and imagination, you know? And they were in the world first, basically. Genies were, you know, they existed before man came to be being, you know?
Yeah.
And then why don't Western films display it? We don't see a lot of movies about this, you know? As you rightly mentioned in an earlier part or in one of the earlier episodes, that this is, let's say, a kind of mostly and purely Islamic terminology.
Yeah.
If it has entered the Western media, it was from a Muslim source, you know?
Yeah.
So why can't they display it? Although there is so much amount of information and insurmountable, actually, to be rejected.
See, the thing is, sometimes you have a very big clash with media itself and the Christian or Judaism theology.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes for Hollywood, it's they only take that which sells, right? There are a lot of concepts in the Bible that is not going to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't have much information about it. Or sometimes, like I said, they have this misconception when it comes to things. So, like, say, they refer to genies as demons.
Yes.
So always, for example, when you read the Bible itself, it's constantly mentioned demons. It hardly mentions jinn, maybe, like, not even once.
Exactly.
Okay. Right? So it's constantly demons, demons, demons. So when Hollywood comes along, they find demons. They don't find jinn. So this is what they work with. They work with demons. Now, even in the books of... like in sorcery, like, I mean, where they talk about black magic, where they talk about Kabbalah, we talk about all sorts of magic that's been practiced even in the times of Vikings and even before them.
Yes.
They've been practicing black magic, right? But they also deal with jinn.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is they deal with jinn. They never deal with demons. There's not such a thing as demons. There's not such a thing as ghosts.
You mean in those books they have jinns?
It's jinn, but they just call it demons.
So in their terminology also we have jinns?
No, in their terminology, the concept, is
the reality
demons.
Is jinns. Mm-hmm. What they call it is
demons, yes. Right? So they deal with jinn constantly. Like, this is the only thing that they can deal with.
Point.
But they call it what? Demons.
Demons.
Yeah.
So they got the term wrong. So in Hollywood and mainstream media, they deal with demons. They never deal with jinn.
Yeah.
Because they switch the names around.
We don't have such a term in the Bible, do we?
Demons?
No, jinn.
No, we don't.
We don't.
Jinn is an Arabic word.
Yeah.
From the root word jannah, which means it's like to hide something.
Hide, yeah.
Or hidden. To be hidden.
Hidden, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to the program Viewpoint. We criticized, the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmed. Of course, we haven't finished it yet, and inshallah and hopefully we'll continue criticizing this movie in the upcoming episode. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us hear some hopeful words of divine mercy from the Master of Eloquence, the Commander of the Faithful, the Leader of the Pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Every person who is tempted to go astray does not deserve punishment.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Ardisic News. With the light.
Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290 million old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Paraná to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only two other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina. Summer heat is here, and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. A Pairi Daiza Zoo, located in Wallonia, in the province of Hainaut, provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water, and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool. So we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it. The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. Some rescue stories are tragic, but this one has a happy ending. A stranded elephant and her calf have been pulled out of a drainage hole in a dramatic rescue mission during monsoon rains in Thailand. The mother elephant was guarding her calf that had fallen into a golf course drain hole when rescuers arrived. Vets had to use tranquilizers to subdue the frantic mother, but on her way down, she hit her head on a concrete block, knocking her unconscious as she fell into the muddy cavity. Rescuers used a crane to lift her out. It took two men jumping up and down on her chest to resuscitate her. Meanwhile, a digger was brought in to move the muddy earth and create a ramp for the calf to climb out. It took the team more than 3 hours to finish the operation. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The sulfortrate was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the sulfortrate is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There, they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
The more scientists make progress in space exploration, the more they get persuaded to delve into the mysteries of the universe. Now, the release of stunning full-color images from deep in the cosmos has put astronomers on the edge of their seats. NASA has unveiled high-resolution pictures from its James Webb telescope, which is the largest space-based observatory ever launched. The images took 2 weeks to render from raw telescope data. The $9 billion infrared James Webb was launched on Christmas in 2021. It reached its destination in solar orbit nearly 1 million miles from Earth a month later. Then the telescope underwent months-long process to unfurl all of its components. James Webb is now finely tuned and fully focused.
The telescope is expected to shed light on the life cycles and planets of planets and galaxies.
The International Fajr Fashion and Clothing Festival has drawn fashion designers from Iran and around the world. The designs displayed are trendy and at the same time they conform to the Islamic dress code. Yusuf Jalali has this report.
It's the Iranian fashion's biggest day. The 11th Fajr Fashion and Clothing Festival brought under one roof fashion designers from across Iran and some other Muslim nations to step up their designs.
I have participated here as a fashion designer. I am so happy to be a part of this event because it acts as a platform that links designers to producers and is helped like promote quality design in the market.
This festival is a major event in the Islamic world's fashion industry because it helps promote fashionable clothes that conform to Islamic guidelines.
A typical Iranian woman wears a button-up coat called manto and a scarf covering the head. Some others wear a piece of cloth called chador, which covers the body from head to toe. One of the challenges Iranian fashion designers have to deal with is to tailor their designs to Islamic dress code or hijab while keeping them trendy.
Clothes represent the identity of a nation. As a designer, my mission is to design clothes that best represent the dresser's nationality and their culture. At the same time, the aesthetic aspect of the garment needs to catch the attention. I think this is an ultimate artistry if accomplished.
Smuggling is another persisting problem in the Iranian clothing industry. Out of the $8 billion annual turnover of Iran's garment industry, a whopping $5 billion is supplied through smuggling, say activists here. Experts say one of the reasons smuggling has the lion's share in Iran's clothing market is that it's more cost-effective to import foreign clothes rather than produce them domestically.
We are making our best efforts to push down the production costs, including the associated taxes, in order to promote designs that reflect our Islamic and Iranian identities, opposed to Western designs that seek to dominate global markets.
With all the actors in Iran's fashion industry present in the Fajr Festival, the event is seen as a place to highlight and address the challenges with the aim to provide the stage for Iranian fashion activists to shine in the domestic market.
It might seem contradictory when we would associate fashion with the Islamic dress code, but it's the art of a fashion designer that sews traditions to style and designs clothes that are both stylish and hijab. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Elephants are the largest living animals on Earth that, in many cultures, are associated with good luck, wisdom and fertility. But their overpopulation has become a matter of concern in the southeastern African nation of Malawi.
We want to reduce the population of elephants in this park, in Luanda National Park, because currently we have 600 plus elephants in this park. We would be comfortable, ecologically speaking, that is, to have 300 elephants in this park.
Officials say they will relocate 250 elephants from a national park in a southern town to another park by the end of July. They say the plan is part of a national conservation initiative to maintain healthy habitats in the country's national parks. Establishing viable elephant populations and ensuring the prosperity of local communities around the parks are said to be the other aspects. Residents say the elephants often stray into their gardens and damage their crops. Authorities had relocated some 300 elephants from the same town in 2019.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islami dina.
بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, you're listening to IRIB English Radio, this program, today's special. We're speaking about orphan care in Islam.
She was just standing there, little girl all alone. Barely covered head to toe, barely just 12 years old. Why is she all alone? Why is the world just so cold? Why don't we play our part? What is hard in our hearts? What is hard in our hearts?
Today, Friday, is the 22nd of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. By recitation of chapter Nisa, verse 36, we bless this part of our program.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا.
Worship Allah and associate nothing with Him, and to parents do good, and to relatives, orphans, the needy, the near neighbor, the neighbor farther away, the companion at your side, the traveler, and those whom your right hands possess. Indeed, Allah does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, some different rights are spoken about. They are irrespective of the rights of Allah and the fights of people and also some civilities of social life. On the whole, there are 10 commandments mentioned in the verse. In one part, it pays for the rights of orphans and encourages the believing people to doing good unto the orphans. The reason of this emphasis is that as a result of different incidents, there always exists some orphan children in every society that forgetting them not only spoils their condition, but also puts the situation of the society in danger.
قلب رحيم كفيله له النعيم هو اليتيم قلب رحيم وصية النبي الكريم.
Orphan care in Islam is the topic of this episode of today's special. As Muslims, we are ordered to ease the plight of all those who suffer. It is a collective responsibility that can't be taken lightly. Muslims are directly ordered to take care of the orphans. Even when it comes to charity, a Muslim should allocate a portion of it for social purposes, atop of which comes catering for the needs of orphans, especially at times of disasters. Allah Almighty says, and feed with food the needy rich, the orphan and the prisoner, for love of him. It is enough to say that the Prophet promised those who take care of the orphans with paradise. He is reported to have said, the best house is the one where orphans are cared for and treated almost honorably and kindly.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with favoring orphans in the Islamic religion. In this connection, it must be indicated that each and every conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been a lesson for us, a practical lesson. I mean, not a theoretical lesson, but a practical one. The Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts in the Holy Quran in this way, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There has been a noble role model in the personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please note carefully that, فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, in the personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it means that both in his character and in his conduct, everybody should find a good and reliable role model, such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts that this role model is noble in every sense of the term. Elsewhere, Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam indicates that those people who are not generous, those people usually don't want to spend money in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who are generous enough and want to remain generous in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should favor orphans and those people who are in need of financial help and financial attention. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
You are with today's special. We're speaking about orphan and its status in Islam. You will have the best house. What does it mean? Let's see. As Muslims, it is essential to support yourself, your close relatives, and the needy. But did you know that Allah speaks about orphans in multiple places in the Holy Quran and lists them right after our close relatives? Yes, in Surah Baqarah, verse 83, Allah says, "And recall when we made a covenant with the children of Israel. You shall serve none but Allah and do good to parents, kinsmen, orphans, and the needy. You shall speak kindly to people and establish prayer and give zakat," that means purifying alms. The Quran associates the orphans as close relatives but still in need of our service and goodwill. And what better way to help someone in need who is like family? By giving them a loving home, whether that is in your own home or helping situate orphans in another safe and secure home, you will gain the reward of this union. Your home or the home you help place a child in will be the best home.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَابِ. رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى. رَبُّنَا الْهَادِي الْوَدُودِ فَضْلُهُ مِلْءُ الْوُجُودِ عَفْوُهُ خَيْرٌ وَجُودٌ فَارْتَجِي دَوْمًا رِضًا.
One question is here, how can we help the orphans? Give your financial support. Some orphanages are suffering from overcrowding and as a result do not offer the best environment for children. It became clear that many of these institutions are understaffed and many of the workers have little training and overall most receive very low wages. Stop and think about this for a moment. Yes, there is a critical need for more orphanages. There is also an urgency to the need to give better training to volunteers and workers in orphanages so that they are ready to meet the emotional and physical needs of children placed in their care. As a society, we must make sure that those who make it their life's calling to help children in these institutions are also treated with dignity. These financial and training needs are met if we as a society choose to do a little effort to help those who help the children in need. Today you can help an orphanage with your financial support, inshallah.
Quran says, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. When it comes to the yatim, be very careful of his emotions. Do not disturb him. Do not bother him. Do not disappoint him. Don't make him cry. Why? Because this child has enough to deal with. He's lost his father. She's lost her mother. He has enough sorrow and pain to deal with. So much grievances that they have. Now you come and you want to upset them. No. When you know a child is an orphan, you have to be extra sensitive with this child. Because there is so much sorrow in this child's heart. Yesterday I saw a video clip they sent of a young child in Iraq. He seemed to be about 10 years old. So there's this reporter who's doing an interview with him on camera. He tells him, why did you leave school? He left school. He said, because I have to make a living. He said, my mother died and my father died. And I have younger brothers and sisters that I have to take care of them. So I have to go out and work. He goes and he collects garbage. I don't know what. He collects some stuff and he goes, sells it for such a cheap price. So he says, because of that, I cannot work anymore. And then the child started to cry. He said, I wish I could, you know, follow my mother and I could be also in her grave with her. I don't want to live in this life anymore. Can you imagine what type of life this orphan has to live? So the Quran says, be extra careful with the yatim. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Make sure you never disappoint them. You never yell at them. You never make them sad. You never make them cry because they have enough to deal with. There's a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or afwan, from Al-Imam al-Sadiq, where the Imam says, it's a very, very touching hadith and a powerful hadith. The Imam says, إِذَا بَكَى الْيَتِيمُ, if a yatim, an orphan, cries, اِهْتَزَّ لَهُ عَرْشُ اللَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. When a yatim cries, the arsh, the throne of God shakes.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting discussion. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.